Okay, however, yesterday we began to develop a theme that the malacha of kosher might have a different definition with respect to einu miskayim than other malachos. By most malachos, if I want to say that something is einu miskayim, what I'm really trying to say is that the item will disintegrate on its own. The malacha will not remain. Kosher, perhaps, is different, that even if I tie something, but I have in mind to untie it, that itself might suffice to be considered eino miskayim. And we wanted to argue that perhaps this might be the underlying meaning in our Gemara. When our Gemara is trying to figure out what's the source of kosher in the Mishkan, and we say shekein kosher be yisedos ohalim, so Abaya asks, "Aye, but isn't that kosher menas lahatir?" Abaya asks, "Isn't that kosher she'eino shel kayama?" And presumably Abaya's kasha is, as understood by Rashi, because the Mishkan won't always remain where it is; it will move from place to place. So therefore, it's not really a permanent kasher, so therefore you're going to be potter. Right? That's the way the Gemara was understood. Now, that seems to show that items that were done in the Mishkan are by definition considered not permanent. Yet we saw the Chassam Sofer pointed out in the Gemara Lamed Aleph that since the Mishkan was Al-Pi Hashem, therefore it is permanent. So the second suggestion that we gave yesterday is that no, kosher is different. Kosher has a different definition of permanence, a different definition of miskayim than all other malachos. And by kosher, the definition of miskayim is going to be that unless it's mamish, going to be permanent, it's not halachically considered permanent. Right? Unless I have in mind to leave it forever, it might not be permanent. And since the Mishkan will go from place to place, even though it's al pi Hashem, it's not called permanent. That's what we suggested from Reb Usher Weiss and the Megillah Sefer. Right? This is yesterday's shiur. Now, this idea that kosher has a different definition of permanence than other malachos, L'cha'ira is connected to a very famous machlokas in the Balei HaTosfos. In Chulin, on Daf Tes Amud Aleph, the Gemara tells us, the Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Talmud Chacham Tzarech Sheyomod Gimel Dvarim, Sab, Shchita, and Mila. The Gemara says that every Talmud Chacham has to know how to write his name, presumably in Ksav Ashuris, to sign a shahar, to sign a get or something. The Talmud Chacham has to know Shchita, even if you're Baki in the Halacha, because that's given, that to be a Talmud Chacham, you have to be Baki in Halacha, so Shchita. But Rashi writes, that Talmud Chacham Tzarech La'amin Yodok, that you have to have the expertise. And Mila, Talmud Chachamim also have to be experts in Mila, presumably that means the practicum of it, not just the book knowledge. Reb Chanan bar Shlamya, Mishmei Derav, says, Av kesher shel tefillin u'birchas chasan and betzitzis. Reb Chananya adds, the Talmud Chacham has to know three other things. You have to know how to make the knot of tefillin. You have to know how to do birchas chasanim, like shara brachas. And you have to know how to make the knots of tzitzis. That's what the Gemara says. V'idach, how come Rav Yehuda Amarav only has ksav, shchita, and mila? How come he doesn't have kesher shel tefillin? So the Gemara answers, Hani Shchichon. Zok the Gemara that these, tefillin, tzitzis, and birchas chasanim, is matzoi tadir, it's shchiyach, and therefore everybody knows them, and you don't have to be a Talmud Chacham to know them. Everybody knows how to do the kesher shel tefillin. That's what the Gemara says. Now, Tosfos, here in Chulin Daf Tes, points out that there's a machlokes between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rabbeinu Eliyahu, what exactly kesher shel tefillin is. No? The Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that kesher shel tefillin just means, or let me say it differently, Rabbeinu Eliyahu is of the opinion that you have to actually make your tefillin knot every single day. Rabbeinu Eliyahu says, if I don't make my tefillin knot every single day, so then, I'm not mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin. Rabbi Natan disagrees. Rabbi Natan says, no. The halakha is that tefillin just have to be tightened every day. When the Gemara says that you make the bracha on tefillin between the time that you put it on and the time that you tie them, it's up to Rabbi Natan that tying tefillin means making them, fastening them to your head, as it were. That's what Rabbi Natan says. It's interesting that his lashon is to your head. That's Rabbi Natan l'shitasai, that the bracha on tefillin is made on the tefillin shel rosh also. But Rabbi Natan says that you fasten the tefillin to your head, and that's called the kesher of tefillin. Rabbi Eliyahu says that you have to make the knot every day. And then Rabbeinu Tam asks on the Rabbeinu Eliyahu from the Gemara in Erevin. The last parak in Erevin is called Hamotzei Tefillin. If I find tefillin that are mutal b'bizayon, so I'm allowed to wear the tefillin as a malbush, the way they are normally worn, and bring them inside. That's what the Mishnah says. But if I have tefillin chadoshim, if I have brand new tefillin that were never worn beforehand, and the knots on the tefillin have not been made, so I'm not allowed to take those tefillin in. Frankly, Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Eliyahu, if you're correct that every day you have to undo the knots and redo the knots, that the kesher shel tefillin has to be knotted every single day, so frankly, Rabbeinu Tam, so why can't I take the tefillin chadoshim and bring them in on Shabbos? L'cha'ayra, that would be a kesher she'eino shel kayama. Because I tie the tefillin, and I untie them every day. So the knot is not a permanent knot. So for Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Eliyahu, l'shitascha, that the tefillin have to be tied, you have to make the kasher every day. So l'shitascha, you should be allowed to take the tefillin chadoshim in on Shabbos. That's the question that Rabbeinu Tam asks on Rabbeinu Eliyahu. And in the Tosfos on Daf Tesen Chulin, there's no answer given for how Rabbeinu Eliyahu would solve this problem. However, in the Hagos Mordechai, it's found on Daf Yud, in the back of the Mordechai in Chulin, the Hagos Mordechai says, nearly, Dirayas Rabbeinu Tam ain't a raya. This raya that Rabbeinu Tam has for Motzei Tefillin on Shabbos, it's not a good raya. De'afogav de'lav kesherhu osur l'koishroi b'Shabbos dirachmana karye kesher. Says the Hagos Mordechai, even though it's a kesher she'eino shel kayama by standard rules of Sharim, because it's meant to be tied and untied every day. But Rachmana Karye Kesher. The Torah says with respect to tefillin, Ukshartem la'os ayodcha, no? So the Torah calls it a kesher. And if the Torah calls it a kesher, so that's why I'm going to be chayiv. In other words, Rabbeinu Eliyahu is answering Rabbeinu Tam's taina, according to Hagos Mordechai, by saying, you're right, you undo this knot every day when you put on the tefillin. But at the same time, right, and it's undone every time, but is it a kesher? Is it a knot? Of course it's a knot. The Torah says, uksharten. Right? And therefore the Torah considers it a knot. What? The Torah considers it a knot, therefore it has a din of a kesher le'inyan Shabbos also. That is in the focus between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rabbeinu Eliyahu. In other words, it would seem that we can argue that Rabbeinu Tam is saying that there is one definition of Einoi Miskayim throughout all Malachos of Shabbos, whether it will last or it won't last, no? And if something is going to not last, it's called Einoi Miskayim. Rabbeinu Eliyahu, however, is saying, whoa, 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 right? I don't really look at whether it is governed by rules of Miskayim or Einoi Miskayim elsewhere. This is a special, unique halacha of tefillin. And by tefillin, I have a din of kesher. If it's called a kesher, so then I'm going to be chayim on Shabbos also. You get the impression Right? From this machlokes, Rabbi Nutam and Rabbi Eliyahu, it's going in a little bit of an opposite direction than we were saying beforehand. Right? We were trying to argue that tefillin has a different definition of eino miskayim, and therefore that definition is a greater kula by the tefillin. Rabbi Eliyahu is saying, you know what, eino miskayim by tefillin is different than eino miskayim elsewhere, because lemaisa it's called kesher. Rabbi Eliyahu is saying that there are special halachos of tefillin, or special halachos, I should say, of kosher, of ksharim. Is it a knot or is it not a knot? Right? So Rabbi Eliyahu says, if it's called a knot for tefillin, it's going to be a knot for Shabbos. Rabbi Nutam says, no. Look at the general rules of miskayim and eino miskayim. Okay? So this is an interesting application of the svara that we were saying beforehand. We were saying the svara that kesher is different from eino miskayim elsewhere. Lahakel. That usually eino miskayim means it will self-destruct on its own, but by kesher, even if I have das, that is enough. That was the svara why kesher is different. Lahakel. Rabbi Eliyahu is also saying kesher is different. Rabbi Eliyahu is saying that kesher is different in a lahachmir sort of way. That if something is called a kesher, it's called a kesher everywhere. No? And Rabbi Nutam is saying no. Lemaisa is called eino miskayim, and therefore I'm going to be potter. Okay, so that is an application. Now, a few things to be said about this machlokes, Rabbi Nutam and Rabbi Eliyahu. First of all, in the Avnei Nezer, in Siman Kuf Pei Gimel, the Avnei Nezer has a discussion about whether eino miskayim has to be that the item itself will self-destruct, or whether my das is enough to make it eino miskayim. And the Avnei Nezer says that some people bring a raya from some notes that they saw in my name. But the Avnei Nezer, don't bring me any rayas from notes. Notes are notoriously unreliable. Don't bring me rayas from notes. And then Rabbi Nutam, the Avnei Nezer talks about this machlokes, Rabbi Eliyahu and Rabbi Nutam, like we mentioned. At the very end of the Avnei Nezer comes up with a tremendous chiddush lahalacha. And the Avnei Nezer concludes that Bahalacha, I'm never allowed to borrow your tefillin. No? We pass in the Shulchan Aruch that I'm allowed to borrow your tefillin. Even without reshus. There's a din in Arachayim Simin Yud Dalid with respect to Talis, and it comes up in Simin Chaf Gim with respect to tefillin. Now I'm allowed, right, even though you never gave reshus, but I assume that you would give me permission to use your Chatzah Shel Mitzvah. The Ramah passage, this does not apply to Svarim, because Svarim might rip, no? And therefore, I don't want you to use my Svarim. You know how sometimes people in yeshivas, they write inside their Svarim, Aser B'li Rishos. According to the Ramah, you never have to write Aser B'li Rishos, because the assumption of a Sefer is always that it's Aser B'li Rishos. Because, right, I might rip the Sefer, and I don't say when it might get ripped. That's what the Ramah Paskins and Arachayim Simin Yudal. Now, how Michalei LeInish works with respect to the general rules that we Paskin usually Yeyosh Lomidas, not have a Yeyosh, is a discussion that the Ktzais has in Hilchos Aveda, right? It still discusses that, but that's like a side topic, not for now, right? Before Yesh only das, well, Havid Yesh means I can never presume your das unless I hear it explicitly. Yet, Michalei Le'inish Lameba Mitzvah B'Mamayne sounds like I presume your das. But Zozayin, there is a halacha that I'm allowed to use your tefillin and your talis without your permission, right? The Avnei Nezer says, yeah, I can only use your tefillin without your permission if my head is the same size as your head. But if my head is a different size than your head, if I wear a hat that's a 7.5 and your head is a 6 5/8, right? So the tefillin ain't going to fit at all. No? So Zot the Avnei Nezer, then you're not allowed to borrow someone's tefillin, because by borrowing the person's tefillin, you're going to have to undo the knot and then adjust it to your size. And if you do that, right, so presumably when you're done with using the tefillin, you'll set the knot back to the previous guy's size. Zokta Abin Nezer, that means that your knot is a kesher, she'enoy shel kayama, according to the Rabbeinu Tam. Right, we don't pass like Rabbeinu Eliyahu, we don't make the knot every day, we pass like Rabbeinu Tam. Right? So that means it's going to be a kesher, she'enoy shel kayama, and kentan that you're not yotzei the mitzvah of tefillin. That's the tremendous finish of the Avni Nezer and Simon Kuf Pei Gimel, based on this Rabbi Kitab. And Simon Kuf Pei Dala and Kuf Pei Hei, the Avni Nezer works very hard to try to defend this finish. Zach, you had a question? No, I'll take it.
Right. So institutions have the ability to impose their own conditions. Like, you can go to a yeshiva that says, you're allowed to use it in the days, you're allowed to use it at Mahon. They have the ability to override.
I'm not talking about institutions. When institutions have the ability to override...
No, I'll say like your sparim in the yeshiva.
What? My sparim in the yeshiva? Again, I don't know. I don't know. What I will say is, Mahalacha, most poskim feel that the Ramah is talking about... Remember, the Ramah died in 1576. And the Ramah's time, sparim were very, very expensive. Today's time were much cheaper. One could argue that when the Rambam says that we don't say Nichalei La'inish on Sfarim, that's talking about Sfarim at his time, which were very expensive. There's Maninu, the Baruch Hashem, Sfarim are cheaper, so maybe we still say Nichalei La'inish. I'm not saying that institution has a right to impose its rules again. That's already, that's a different conversation. I'm not going in that direction. Okay. Now, there's a Machlokes from Rabbeinu Tam. And Rabbeinu Eliyahu, in Shulchan Aruch, the Pasuk of Rabbeinu Tam, that we don't tie the knot with tefillin ourselves every day. Rabbeinu Tam seems to be assuming that the same geder of Eino Miskayim and elsewhere is true here, at least with respect to Zman. Right? He's not, Rabbeinu Tam is not saying that because as a din kesher, the Indians go and as a din kesher, the Indian Shabbos. That's what Rabbeinu Eliyahu says. And then the Avni Nezer has a siddish that I'm not supposed to borrow your tefillin based on the Rabbeinu Tam. So now, the story goes on so. Many Acharonim disagree with the Rabbeinu, many Acharonim disagree with the Avni Nezer's siddish. Many Acharonim hold la halacha that I am allowed to borrow your tefillin. How they get there is slightly complicated. If you look in our friend the Megillah Sefer, the being of Simon Chaf Aleph, he talks about this issue, but that becomes somewhat complicated. Now, how can we understand this Machlekes Rabbi Gutam and Rabbi Noah Yahu? So we were saying a funny svara, which doesn't really hold water, no? What we were saying is that Rabbeinu Eliyahu was saying, because the Kesher Le'inyin Tefillin is a Kesher Le'inyin Shabbos, and therefore Rabbeinu Eliyahu is saying something about how Kesher is different than all other Malachis in a greater Chumrah sort of way, right? That was our... Now, it's a little bit strange, because we said the same story yesterday, that Kesher is different in a more Megal way. That's a little strange. So what is the Machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Eliyahu? So my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Brown, in his Sefer Tevas Moshe, has the following idea. We discussed in our youth, right when we began Perek Klal Gadol, which is now 40 shiurim ago, we discussed that there are more shiurim that we have on Klal Gadol now than we had on all of Shabbos and all of Kira. Just say it.
Kira was 39.
Good. Right? Love and test malachos. Now, we discussed whether malachos on Shabbos are Shemus Machlokin or Gufin Machlokin. Okay, we said from the Tosfos Harig and Daf Kuf Lamed Ches, the Totos Chayim had this Tosfos read, that when the Torah says El Sasek HaMalacha, it's as if the Torah writes, don't do Bishol, don't do Osesh Dei Bati Nirin, don't do Kosher. But the other approach is saying that malachos on Shabbos are not shameless mechlakin, they are gufen mechlakin. Can Zion talk about that ground, that that's the machlokas of Rabbeinu Eliyahu and Rabbeinu Tam? Rabbeinu Eliyahu was saying that there's a din of kasher. And if something is a kasher, le'inyin tefillin, it's a kasher, le'inyin Shabbos also. But Rabbeinu Tam says, no. There's no din of kesher. There's a din of malacha. You see, if I take the approach of shemos muchlakin, so I would say something along the lines of, one second, shemos muchlakin? What does that mean? That means that the Torah says don't make a kesher. Well, what's a kesher? Oh, I have other areas of halacha wherein kesher is a relevant concept by tefillin, right? But Rabbeinu Tam is saying, no, I don't look at the category of kesher. There's no category of kesher per se. There's a category of malacha. Kesher is an example of malacha. And therefore, for the Rabbeinu Tam, what emerges is, right, that we would be saying that it's ke'ilu gufen muchlakin, not shameless muchlakin. And therefore, if something is enoi miskayim, b'chol ha'toyra, because it's meant to be undone, so it's enoi miskayim here also. Right? That's l'cha'ayra, what should emerge according to the Rabbeinu, according to Rabbeinu Tam. Good? So, I would say that the Hezber of Rabbi Brown in this machlokas between Rabbeinu Eliyahu and Rabbeinu Tam is actually very beautiful, because it dovetails with what we were saying at the beginning of this man as to whether the malachos on Shabbos are shemos muchlakin or gufen muchlakin. Is that clear, Shemi? It's not a bad svara. Okay. You're asking, it's not bad. Gufa Mukhlak is just a way of saying that it's not shameless Mukhlakin. The Torah says,
because
don't.
At the end of the day, like, we still say, let's look first on, let's look, like, we say kosher. I mean, yes, the Torah doesn't say kosher, but we do know that malachas are there.
So there is a malacha called kosher. So kosher is an example of malacha on Shabbos, but it's not governed by rules of kesher b'chol ha'Torah. It's governed by rules of malacha b'chol ha'Torah. No? That's sort of the dispute between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Now, this question of if I do a malacha that I intend to undo, whether that is considered a malacha on Shabbos or not, no? Right? What we're saying is that this is something that's unique to kesher. That by kesher, if I intend to undo it, it's not a kesher. By every other malacha, it's only not a malacha if it will get undone on its own. Right? That's the basic sfera that we said yesterday. Correct? This issue perhaps is relevant to the discussion that we saw in the Ramah at the beginning of Shin Mem about whether I'm allowed to, or I'll say it like this. The Tshuvas HaRamah that's quoted in the Magen Avraham in Shin Mem Siv Katan Vav about if you have a sefer that has words written on the side of the page, are you allowed to open and close the book on Shabbos? No? We discussed this already in Shir. Am I allowed to open or close the book? So the Ramah is Megel. The Ramah says that just like I'm allowed to open and close the door on Shabbos, I'm allowed to open and close the sefer. The Levush writes, it's Karoiv L'chiyuv Chatas. The Levush writes that opening and closing a book that says Mendel Gottesman Library is very, very bad. Karoiv L'chiyuv Chatas. Now, L'cha'ora, this case is somewhat analogous to what we're talking about, Eino Miskayim, in the sense that I will undo it. Now, the words Mendel Gottesman Library will last on the Chudei Hadafim for a very long time. Narvas, I open and close it. I undo it and I close it. So that's very similar to the type of idea that we're developing with the Malacha of Kosher. And what we're saying is that it's a unique idea by Kosher. And if it's a unique idea by Kosher, so the Levush is correct, that you're not allowed to open and close the Svarim on Shabbos. Now the Avnei Nezer in the Tshuva, in Simen Reish Yud, the Avni Nezer brings two rayas that the Rama is correct and the Lavosha is wrong. No? Two rayas. Raya number one that the Avni Nezer brings is from a Tosfos on Sadi Dalet Amid Beis. Tosfos b'chi derech ariga. The Gemara says that if you braid hair on Shabbos, Yechayiv Mishum Oreg. No? Yechayiv Mishum Oregis. And then the Gemara asks, Amri Rabban and Kamed Rabavahu, Vichy Derech Arigo Bekach. How are you going to be Chayiv? It's not the normal way to braid. What does that mean? Vichy Derech Arigo Bekach. So Tosfos writes on Tzadi Dalet Amid Beis, in the bottom Tosfos, Tosfos writes, Hacha ain sofa lehiskayim sha'omedas lestira. It's not sofa lehiskayim, because it will be undone. People don't leave their braids there forever. I know that there is a thing called dreadlocks, right? I know that it's not part of our Mesorah. I'll just say it like that. But we have something that sometimes people leave these braids for an extremely long time, but that's highly unlikely. As Zok Tosfos, usually you braid hair, and it's omedas lestira. Now, lechora, when you think about it, one second. Tosfos saying it's not this kaye because it's omedas lestira. That means I will undo it, no? And that's still called enai miskaye. So Zok the Avni Nezer, you see from this Tosfos that what? That the Rama is right. That the Rama is right in the sense of a malacha that I do. The malacha could last on its own, but I intend to undo it. Omedos lestira means I will undo it. So that is not a malacha. That's a Tosfos Reitz and Sadi Dalet Amid Beis. The Chaoras of the Avni Nezer and Simen Reish Yud. Again, these are the last two paragraphs in Avni Nezer and Simen Reish Yud. The Chaora, this is a raya that the Rama is right and the Lavush is wrong. Right? Yeah, so there's a Machlokes Rama and Lavush, basically, whether Einai Miskayim, in the sense of I will undo it, is that Shayach to other Malachos outside of Kosher. Now, L'cha'ora, the Avni Nezer's rejection of the Lavush, and Avni Nezer's proof to the Ramah, is not gevaldic. Because our Svara, why Kosher, has a different Hagdara of what is Miskayim, is because Kosher is fundamentally a Malacha of Chibur. The Malacha of Kosher is, I'm connecting two items by tying a knot. We could argue that it's not considered chibur if you will undo it. Chibur has to be a permanent attachment. Im kenem hadavarim, says the Megillah Sefer, one could argue that ariga is like kosher in the sense of oireg is also a maleches hachibur. What's oireg? I take strings, I weave them together to connect them to create a beged. A mechaber, a shasi, and an erev to make a beged. That's oreg. If it's a meleches hachibur, so one could argue that that's why my das to undo it undermines the melacha. But by other melachos, right, kosev, right, my das to undo it doesn't undermine the malacha, right? That's a new iser of mochik, right? But it doesn't mean that it's not kosev. So if that's the case, the Avni Nezer's raya to the Ramah from the Tosfos on Tzadi Dalet Amid Beis is highly questionable. That's what it says in the Megillah Sefer in that Marimachum that we gave you, Simon Chaf Aleph Os Beis, Os Aleph and Os Beis. So far so good? Should we do some more? Okay, why not? Zakh the Gemara.
According to the Rabbein Tam, according to the Rabbein Tam, you wouldn't be able to say this idea that we're developing. Because if you say it in Kufu Mubaki, then you're learning.
Correct. In other words, the way I'm understanding Rabbein Tam is saying that all malachos are common, and I can't have a different Hagdara by one than I have by the other. That, yes. Right. Now, by the way, the Gemara, Rabbi Brown points out that the Gemara on Sadi Hay, when it says that braiding hair is a chi of a bonet, because the Pasuk says, Vayivan Hashem Elokim es Hatzela, that Kadosh Baruch Hu braided Chava's hair and brought her to Adam Harishon, that sounds like we are defining a bonet, B'chala Tera Kula. Right? We're saying that braiding equals bonet. Well, who says braiding equals bona in Yom Shabbos? No? Who says braiding is a malacha on Shabbos? If I take a shameless machlokin approach, then it's easier to say that something is bona in one area is bona everywhere. But if I take a goofin machlokin approach, so then it's harder to say that. It's the same point that we made earlier. Okay, let's go back there. The Gemara tells me that the kosher b'mishkan can't be that they tied the mishkan to the yesedos because that was kosher al menas lahatir. That's kosher in order to undo it. Now, I don't understand. There are shiurim for kosher al menas lahatir. How long does a kesher have to be called the kesher shel kayoma? Again, now when I speak about this, I'm speaking within Shitas Rashi in the entire 15th Perek, that Rashi understands that the Hagdara of Kesher Shel Kayama versus Eino Shel Kayama is based on Zman. The Rambam and the Rif have a different take on Judaism. They understand that the definition of Kesher Shel Kayama is based on Kesher Uman. Is it a professional knot? But Rashi understands that the Hagdara is Zman. Again, if you look in the Svarim in Simin Shin Yod Zayin, we can't do all of Perek Eil Ksharim now. That will take too long. But that's a fundamental machlokes between Rashi and everybody else. So I don't understand. The Mishkan. The Mishkan, is that really Kesher Amenaz Lahatir? They stayed in certain locations in the Midbar. They stayed in Kadesh, what, for 38 years, no? And the other Mem Zayin Masa'is were spread out over 2 years. Right? Wait, so they are staying in places. V'yesh asher yiyeh ha'anan ha'mishkan, right? V'nasa ha'anan baboker v'nasa'u. Something like that, no? Sometimes they leave right away. Sometimes they wouldn't leave right away. Why is that called a kesher she'eno shel kayama? When I tie it, I know that I might be tying it for a very long time. So why does that make it kesher she'eno shel kayama? Right? L'cha'ira, kesher she'eno shel kayama should mean that I tie it, and I know that I will untie it in a certain amount of time. But in this case, it's punkt fakert. I'm tying it, and I know that it might last for a very long time. So why should that not be a kesher shel kayama? Zach?
No, just, exactly that. You're tying it as, I know that I might get it for a long time. Because if you have dust, it will be
So comes along the Taz at the beginning of Shin Yud Zayin and Sifkot and Beis in the Taz. The Taz develops an idea. You see, the Gemara at the beginning of Perek Eil Ksharim has a stira about minol a minol sandal a sandal. There's a stira as to tying shoelaces, whether you chayev or pater or mutter. Right? A big steer in the Gemara. And one answer in the Gemara is that there's a difference between knots of ushkafi, knots of shoemakers, which apparently are there to last for a longer time, more permanent, and knots of rabbonim, knots of the rabbis. And when the rabbis tie the knots, so the way the Sefer HaTruma learns, Rashi has his mahalach in the Gemara, but the Sefer HaTruma is quoted in the Taz that's saying that the knots of the rabbis are not going to be chayiv because a rabbi ties a knot, or let's say it like this. The rabbis tie knots on their shoes, and rabbis don't take off their shoes all week. The assumption is that rabbis stay up all night learning.
Shabbat.
or a week long. Only Leil Shabbos, the rabbis take off their shoes and go to bed. For the rest of the week, if you're a rabbi, you stay up learning, wearing your shoes, and you fall asleep at the dining room table while you're preparing the shiur, right? That's what a rabbi is. That's what the Sefer HaTruma understands. So you wear your shoes all of the week. So Frek Taz, one second, so you're a rabbi, that means that you only take off your shoe Shabbos morning. No. You only take off your shoes, I should say, Friday night you go to sleep. The rest of the week you don't go to sleep in bed. Friday night you go to sleep in bed. Frek Taz, how are you allowed to tie your shoes Shabbos morning? Lamaisa, right? That means that you're tying your shoes and it's going to last for an entire week. So shouldn't that be an issue of Kesher Shel Kayama? How does the rabbi tie his shoes Shabbos morning? Friday night you undo your shoes to go to bed. Shabbos morning you wake up, you go to shul, you're a rabbi, you have to go to shul. So how are you allowed to tie your shoes Shabbos morning? Zok Taz, you see from the Sefer HaTruma that you're allowed to tie your shoes Shabbos morning because even though usually rabbis don't go to sleep in bed all week, but sometimes even the rabbi is tired. And sometimes even the rabbi will go to sleep at night. And the rabbi will take off his shoes. And therefore, Zakta Taz, because sometimes I take off my shoes at night, that shows that even the rabbi's not is a not she'ena shel kayama. Usually, the rabbi will wear his shoes all week. But he might take it off. Therefore, you don't have das for it to remain for a very long time. L'cha'ayra, what the Taz is saying, as understood by the Shulchan Harav and all the Mepharshim who say the Taz, is that to be shokayyoma has to mean that you know it will last for a long time. But if I have any doubt that it might not last for a long time, that's called eno kayyoma. And l'cha'ayra, our Gemara, is a raya to the Yisrael of the Taz. Because our Gemara says that B'nai Yisrael in the Midbar, they don't know how long they'll last, no? And therefore it's considered a kesher. She'ena shel kayama. If I last 38 years, it doesn't matter. I don't have das for it to last that long. I don't have necessary das. I don't know for sure it's going to last that long. That's why it's called a kesher she'ena shel kayama dar gemara. He's a shtickle right to the Taz. Okay, Zosai. Just one last ta'ara on this Gemara. Taisus on Ayin Gimel Med Aleph. The Gemara continues by us. What's the source of Kesher? It can't be that they tie the Mishkan to the Yesedos, because that's Kesher She'ena Shel Kayama. It can't be that Erge Yerios, when you have a thread that rips, so you undo one and you leave. It can't be that imishumilei tre chutri, that you undo one and you leave the other one tied, because people don't do that lifnei melech malchei hamlachim. You wouldn't even do it lifnei baser b'dom. Certainly you shouldn't do it lifnei melech malchei hamlachim. Rather, the Gemara learns from tzadei chilazon. No? Rather, the Gemara learns from tzadei chilazon. Honestly, I have what to say on this, but it involves doing the Taisa on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph and the Rush, and we don't have time now to do all of that. So let's break over here. Either we'll discuss it in the Beis Medrash. I really want to do the next Gemara of Taifer, but there are important stuff. We'll think about how we'll do this next time we learn, whether we'll do the Taisa on Ayin Gimel or not. We'll discuss that next time around. Okay, Trevor, thank you for listening.